Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. We are wrapping up 2025 tonight with a look back at this last year in Elder Scrolls. And joining me are some of our patrons who are excited to talk about everything from the Oblivion remaster and its launch and our feelings about it now, months later, to what was going on with ESO this year. And then also all the weird buzz about people thinking that Elder Scrolls 6 is just going to all of a sudden shadow drop on us. And of course, it didn't during the holidays. But we're going to go back over everything and welcome joining me again a bunch of our patrons. We have Falcon with a Box On, Blinding Vision, Wasteland Oni, and Rob the Princess. I'm so glad you guys all made the time. It is, as we are recording this right now, it is the day after Christmas. And normally we record these on the last Thursday of the month, but that was on Christmas night. So we pushed it back a day and you all made this work out. So I appreciate it. But welcome back, everybody. Hey, why don't we just do some quick little intros here and just let everyone say hi to everybody. We've got kind of a small group, so I'm just going to go in order of the screen I have. Falcon, welcome back to the show. Good to see you.
Hello.
How's it going? How was your holiday?
Very good. Very holiday.
Very, very holiday-ish. Did you eat a lot of food? Yeah, me too. Yeah. And then we've got a Blinding Vision. Welcome back, Blinding.
Hey.
Hey.
Sorry, microphone's a little sensitive right now.
Yeah, no, we can hear you. You're coming through. Yeah. And you doing good? Good holidays?
I gave myself food poisoning the day before Christmas.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're feeling better.
A lot better than I was yesterday and definitely the day before.
That's good. Well, welcome back. And then we've got Wasteland Oni. Oni, I'm so glad that you were able to actually make it on like a microphone, not in your car, yeah, trying to make it after work and all of that. How's it going?
Yeah, no, it's good. Christmas was a chill one. Ate lots of food, so yeah.
Awesome. And then we've got Rob the Princess. Rob, how's it going,
Hello.
Man? Hello.
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. So this is fun. Thank you, everybody, for joining me again. I don't know where Lotus is. I think he knew that tonight was the show, but something might have come up. But maybe he'll pop in and join us. But hey, I'm excited to talk about looking back on this year and then looking forward into the next year. It feels like we go over these conversations over and over about like, when is the next mainline Elder Scrolls game going to come out? And there was all this buzz this year about it. And who knows, maybe sometime in the next year, maybe the year after that. But first, I want to discuss the Oblivion remaster. And I want your takes on this. It was kind of a shadow drop. I mean, there were leaks that pointed at what was going to happen, but it was not a regular let's announce it 6 months ahead of time sort of thing and then build up a whole thing. And they just dropped it. Initially, I believe they had like 2.5 million sales right away, and I'm sure it's continued to grow over time. And I know back then we were all discussing it and a lot of us were playing it and having fun checking it out and all of that. But let's look back on it. How do you all feel now months afterwards about how that went? And does the game still hold up? What are your thoughts on all of that? Who would like to jump in and talk about this one? Anybody? Rob? I see Rob's hand. I saw Rob's hand and then Oni's hand. Rob, yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think overall it performed really good. The main complaint that we heard from the get-go at launch was, you know, gameplay was kind of rough with the difficulty slider. And that still remains to be an issue. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to fix that in any meaningful way. But the rest of the game is good. I think it aged very well with the way that they updated all of the visual aspects, and they even redid some of the voice lines, so it makes it feel like a new game, but then you still have all of that nostalgia trapped inside. So overall, I'd say it was a win. Some little minor grievances, but it was a great remaster.
Yeah, I think that difficulty thing was one of those things they messaged later on, saying that they're working on fixing it. And then there was some news about Microsoft acquisition and then causing certain layoffs, and then some confusion about what does that actually mean? Do the people on the team, are they actually still working on it? We haven't really seen much in the way of updates to the game. So I'm hoping we still get updates to the game. That would be nice, but I don't know. I mean, Bethesda has a lot going on. The Fallout TV show came out with season 2. They've been talking about they're still working on Fallout stuff, multiple projects they've been hinting at. Elder Scrolls 6 is getting closer and closer to release. I don't know where this is going to fit in the priorities between all of those things, but it would be nice to have some updates still. What do you think?
I mean, I definitely hope that they will keep up with the updates. I just they've kind of set that precedent. They said that they were going to work on it, and then they just kind of ghosted us from there. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure you will. So
Right.
maybe they'll come back and surprise me, and maybe they'll keep the game nice and tidy. But I don't expect them to. The service that we got from Skyrim in all of these years, they've released new additions every single time, but the core issues to the game still never got patched with every new release. The last anniversary edition, they did fix some of the things, which was nice, but they still left tons of major issues in Skyrim. I don't think they're going to change anything meaningful in Oblivion, but I'd be happy to be surprised.
Yeah, the main problems with Oblivion that were in the original release that are just part of the base code, a lot of those issues and bugs were still there. It leads me to think that they have this track record of not addressing certain kinds of bugs in games that use the creation engine from now almost
It's
two
not a
decades,
bug, it's a
almost two
feature,
decades.
right?
Yeah, and I think that there might be something, having worked a little bit in software development and things like that, I think there might be something in the underlying code that is almost impossible for them to fix without breaking other stuff, as we've seen with the updates for Fallout 4, or just something that is just core to the functionality of the way the engine worked back then, and probably led to a lot of the improvements they made in Starfield. And some of the continual improvements they'll make for Elder Scrolls 6, I would suppose. But I have a feeling that it's just like a cost-benefit analysis. Like, do they put thousands of man hours in without even knowing for sure that they're ever going to be able to fix those old engines in order to just fix some minor bugs? You know, that like I don't know. But I don't work for them, so I'm not really sure about that.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's not if it's not broke, don't fix it. But if it's like if it's not broken enough, don't fix
Right.
it.
But
It's like if
that's,
the game still works, so let's just leave it.
yeah, but I mean, that is our modern technology world, right? Like, if you have, I mean, how many apps do you have on your phone where you have normal bugs or errors where things just don't work right, but yet they work well enough so you still use them? It's the it, that that seems to be the way our systems seem to work right now, is if they're okay enough, we'll just leave them like that when it comes to most software.
Unfortunate, but it's true. It's
It
just the
is.
way things are.
It is. And I think it comes down to a cost thing, and like how broken is something before you can't sell it anymore, or people actually go find an alternate thing. So yeah, there are some issues with that. But Oni, you had some thoughts on this. What do you think about the Oblivion remaster?
Pretty much what Rob covered. But I think also one of the major things was also like it brought a lot of people who were not wanting to play the old school Oblivion because it's too old, like new audience basically. So it was nice to see new faces come in and have a
Very
perspective
much.
from people who've never played it. Yeah, like pretty much everything else what Rob said as well.
Yeah, it was fun reading all of these comments online about people who never did play the original and rediscovering the quest lines and the characters and the story. And a lot of them were saying things like, wow, this is better than Skyrim in this way or whatever, you know? And
That's
it's
a really
like,
strong point.
yeah, it's like, yeah, some of this stuff still holds up, absolutely. And some of those storylines or some of those characters are more interesting than some of the ones you get in Skyrim for sure. So I think that hopefully that feedback will help inform Elder Scrolls 6 because it's still in development. At least that would be my hope.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I know I had joined the Sky Oblivion team because I was so tired of the visuals of original Oblivion that I was like, I want to enjoy Oblivion without having to look at this.
Yes.
So I was thrilled when they did the remaster. I was like, yeah, I don't have to wait as long now.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. And I'm super excited about Sky Oblivion 2. I know they've pushed that back to next year. But there are things that the Skyrim engine does that even a new shiny coat on the old Oblivion version of that engine,
Oh yeah,
Oblivion
it's going to be very
still,
different.
like, especially in the mechanics of combat and things like that, it still doesn't feel as good as Skyrim from a mechanics standpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the combat still feels old,
Yes.
but not necessarily in a bad way, but it does feel old, and whether that is a bad thing to the player, that's up for them to decide.
Right. I find that when I go and play both of them, when I play Oblivion, I long for Skyrim movement and the way the combat works. And when I play Skyrim, I long for some of the other like more
Right.
complex systems for like the way the quests work, or
For
not
sure.
necessarily highlighting exactly where to go every time, that kind of thing. So yeah, there's a little bit of that stuff. But have any of you guys gone back and played it recently? I mean, I know most of us were playing this back in like March and April, but have you fired back up the remaster?
I played a little bit of it probably like 2 months ago. Pretty much felt the same as my first like replay through, but yeah, no, I still enjoyed it. Like, it's pretty much my favorite like Elder Scrolls game, so having like a remastered version of it was, well, yeah, it was
Yeah.
like a dream come true basically.
Is it going to be the kind of game for you, Oni, where you go back every few months or like once a year and you just do another, spend another 50 hours in it or something?
Yeah, I'd say that. Like I occasionally go back to Fallout 4 and Skyrim all the time, so it'd definitely be one of those games that I'll keep going back when I feel like craving to play it, so
Yeah, it's like comfort food, you know? It's like
yeah.
it's that like, oh, it's I know exactly what I'm gonna get, and I'm gonna be able to do the thing, and maybe I'll try something a little bit different this time, but I'll probably accidentally make the same decisions I did before. I was having a conversation with my son, who we were talking in the pre-show about. He's 15, and he's definitely old enough to really start appreciating these types of games. And he's been playing Elden Ring, and he started a new character. And I was explaining to him how, like, yeah, oftentimes I'll go back and like I'll mean to do something different, but then I'll just find myself making the same choices after the fact and be like, wait a minute, that's exactly what I did last time. And he's like,
Falling into that stealth archer whole trap. It's the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd love
Falcon,
to hear it again.
did you want to chime in on this one, Falcon? I think you're
Yeah, I
in.
think they will take some of the feedback in that into Elder Scrolls 6. It's already like player count and revenue wise bigger than Oblivion. The remaster has like a million more players, and I don't know the money. I just know it's bigger.
Yeah, well, they charge less for it, but there's also, time period that's gone by and all of that. But yeah, so you think they're going to take some of the things they learned and use those things in Elder Scrolls 6? Do you think that we'll get quest lines or characters that feel more like Oblivion?
I think we will, because that's what people want. That was a complaint in like Skyrim that, it didn't feel like Oblivion characters, and then they doubled down with Starfield and made it, that didn't feel great either.
Yeah. Well, one of the things they did in Starfield that they didn't do previously, we have to think about their games in release order, right? Oblivion, then you've got like Elder Scrolls 3, or I'm sorry, Fallout 3, New Vegas, Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim, Fallout 4. The big difference with Fallout 4 was that they had voiced protagonists. And I actually read an article today where they were talking about how the reason they made that decision is they felt like they were keeping up with the industry, that all of these other RPG games, the Mass Effect series, Dragon Age, like a lot of these big popular series, all had voiced protagonists. So they felt like that was the direction to go because that's what people wanted. But it turns out that when Bethesda makes a game, people don't want voiced protagonists. So they rolled that back for Starfield, which was one of the good decisions I think they made for Starfield.
One of like three good decisions they made.
Well, I will say, like, they're trying to keep up with the games for a decision that had been made with other games 15 years ago. So it wasn't really keeping up. It was more catching up. And they had already made a reputation of not doing that. And then they went and switched it. And I think that's why it didn't go very well.
And I think the other thing about Starfield is that there, so it's just like voters, like the concept of there are certain things that you care the most about, and so that's going to sway your vote or opinion about something. So even if you get 10 of the minor things you care about, if you don't get one or two of the things you care the most about, it still comes across as bad or negative or not the thing that you want. So I think we have to be careful when we consider what Starfield did and how well it did it, and looking at things like, so Starfield did things wrong for sure. There are too many load screens, right? There are too many barren planets with nothing to do on them. There are too many assets that repeat themselves and all of that stuff. But there are elements that did actually progress when you look at them closely, the formula that Bethesda was using, but they got overshadowed by a lot of these things that were really kind of a problem for that game. So, and my assumption is the reason why we haven't seen a new DLC for Starfield and new stuff is that they've actually been working on a lot of those things that people had problems with in order to do a big update and address a lot of those things. And then once those things are fixed, then you can, it's not, you don't have a thorn in your shoe anymore, right? Like you can start walking and enjoying the scenery and going, oh, well, actually, this part is actually pretty good. So that's my sense of it on that. But any other thoughts on the Oblivion remaster? Blinding, did you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, I enjoyed the Oblivion remaster. It was a modern version of a game I loved. Still felt the same. It just looked a lot better.
Yeah. Do you think that there's possibility, and this is an open question for anybody, and there's only so many of us, so feel free to just chime in. Do you think there's a possibility that we'll ever get a Morrowind remaster in the format of Oblivion? Do you think it's possible?
No.
No? Blinding says no.
I think they will do one, just not, it'll be very different to the other remaster.
Okay.
It'd have to take so much more work because they
Yeah.
can't just touch it up like they did Oblivion. They kind of have to recreate it, and that either means it's going to be completely different or they're just not going to do it.
I mean, I guess the other option would be just a graphics overhaul because people would buy it, but it would still
I think
feel
that would go
old.
very
Graphics.
sour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs more than graphics overhaul.
Oni, you had some thoughts?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's one of those games. I think it's so much older than Oblivion that it would require like a full on remake, not a remaster. Because there's a lot about it that even fans of the game complain about, like the combat and all that. Like you'd have to upgrade it for newer gamers and modern gamers. Otherwise, it's just going to be probably the same Morrowind players going back to it.
Yeah, I think that there are some difficulties. I mean, I bounce off of it every time I try to play it because there are certain, like the systems. I think you're right. The combat, just swinging at a rat or skeever until you hit it because you can't hit it, because the dice rolls don't work, is a problem. That's something that needs to be adjusted. But I think the biggest hurdle for me when it comes to Morrowind is so much text to read. There's just, like, even just having a conversation with a basic character that you come across at the beginning of the game, and there are pages of text with little highlighted words that you click on, and then more pages, and then a little high, like, and they drip feed that so much better in Oblivion and in Skyrim and in the Fallout games than they do in Morrowind. It's like they just info dump everything
Do
on
you
every
think they would
character.
pay the voice actors to do all of that, or do you think that's way too much effort at that point?
Well,
Because that's a lot of voice acting.
I think the problem is actually more fundamental than that. Would you sit and listen to paragraphs of voice actor? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah,
yeah,
I
it's
do
a
think
lot of
that is part of
exposition.
it.
Yeah, it's a lot of exposition. Like that's so here's like playing through like I jump back into Skyrim every so often. I put a bunch of new mods in and I've been trying stuff out. And even when I talk to a character that I don't just like totally know what they're going to say because I've played it so many times, I still just most of the time I'm just like, okay, skip, skip, skip.
Yeah, I
Okay,
wonder if
this
they
is
could
the
do like
info
a
I want.
retro
All right,
remake where
skip.
they keep the older game fashion to it and maybe lean into it and make it like seem older than it actually was and just do like a fully text-based game that like Morrowind was, but maybe change the style a bit more and make it look even more retro than in the original was, but with like a more modern system around it to make it still smooth.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's always a piece of the calculation for is it worth the effort to put into it for the total number of sales? And the bigger a company gets, the more they have to hit a massive swath of people who are willing to buy a thing, and the less niche it can feel with
Yeah,
its options.
ultimately, I don't think it would get the money that they would need to spend into it. Well, I mean, it probably
Yeah.
would get the money they need to spend into it, but they don't look for that. They look for profit, and it wouldn't
Right.
necessarily capture the profit that they would look for on that. So it
Right.
probably just won't happen.
Yeah, we see this happen in the industry over and over again. Like Blizzard, for example, released lots of games, and then all of a sudden they just stopped releasing games, but for every few years. And part of that was because of the corporate attitude of we have to make sure that this next thing we release is going to make even more profit than what we made from World of Warcraft 10 years ago or whatever. And then that becomes this problem where it's like at some point you just can't keep topping yourself. You just have to put out more stuff and try things and see if you can find your audience again. So yeah, it's tricky. But all right, any other thoughts about Oblivion Remaster? Any of that stuff? You guys good on this? Looks like you're good to go. All
It
right.
was a fine game.
It's a fine game. Yeah. More passion over profits. Yeah, that's the problem with the corporate system is that everything's shareholders and profits, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't have the corporate system, then you also don't have the manpower to make massive projects that blow you away. It's this like double-edged sword, right? But here, let's talk. Speaking of corporate profits and changes, Elder Scrolls Online has made some big changes in the last year, and we had the Wailing Wall. We had this whole countdown to the wall coming down and doing stuff, and parts of that did not work, did not go to plan. There were some basic complaints from the community early on about it feeling more like you're grinding through stuff that really doesn't matter. And it got repetitive to when the wall actually came down, to things didn't happen simultaneously for everybody at the same time. And some people found things were very buggy. It feels like a lot of that was a first effort at doing something kind of novel, but with some misses. You know, like maybe they just didn't have enough time to Q&A it correctly in order to get everything working for everybody the same way. What are your thoughts on ESO this year? Who would like to start us off?
I can.
Yeah, Oni, what do you think?
Yeah, so I've actually voiced my opinion in the Discord, if you've seen that. But so I was excited to see how it went with the new way they were releasing things, but it actually caused me to lose interest a little bit because I prefer to just have like one whole big bulk of content to just play through that and then wait for the next little bulk of content. And because I'm one of those gamers, like I hop between games all the time. But when I'm on a game, I like to commit some, you know, a week or two on that game. I couldn't do it this year with ESO. Like I would play the content, but it was like, you know, not that much content. And then I'd just be like, well, that was kind of boring. Like I didn't get much of it. And then I'm sitting there waiting for the next content, and you don't know when it's going to release. So I just, because I want space on my console for the other games, I can't just
ESO takes a lot of space. Yeah, absolutely.
and that's the thing, like it takes up most of my console space. So it just, yeah, I just didn't commit as hard this year with like, and the story was good, all that was fine, nothing, no issues with like the actual like what we got. It was just the way they released it I didn't really like.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting story. You've got Manny Marco returning, and you have all these characters that you've met across the series, you know, from different time periods as you were playing through different expansions
I
and all
love
of
how you
that.
enunciated his name, Manny Marco.
Manny Marco.
Manny
Manny,
Marco.
it's
It's
Manny,
not
he's
Manny Marco.
no, no, it's
That's
Manny
why I'm
Manny
Manny
Marco.
over there.
There's many Marcos that
Manny,
keep coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I
It's
call him Manny for
Emmanuel
short.
Marco.
Like, we know each other really well at this point. I'm like, hey, it's Manny. Yeah. So,
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. It just
they
stuck
just
out
seem
to
like the
me so
best friend.
much. Yeah, you know, I'm not the best at pronouncing words. I don't know if you guys have realized that by now after 6 years
Not
of
either.
doing podcasts.
I'm
One of your
dyslexic, so.
shining
Almost
traits.
7 years, yeah. In fact, somebody commented on the Lord of the Rings Lorecast recently, and they were very, very kind, but they were like, the fact that you openly acknowledge that you don't pronounce the words correctly is actually kind of charming and part of why I like your show.
Honestly,
I
yeah,
like
it was
that.
like
Yeah.
teasing how like silly the pronunciations are is half the fun.
But I don't know, maybe there's also a level of humility to it. I don't know.
Some of the words are pretty ridiculous, and like
Some of them.
how are you expecting people to pronounce some of that?
Oh yeah, totally. Especially when you don't have like a pronunciation guide. And something like, you know, the Lord of the Rings came out in the, you know, the 30s or 40s or 50s, and like it's not like you had the internet with people who are like Tolkien's,
You know,
how you pronounce words. You just read them.
Tolkien seems like the kind of guy that would release that, though,
Oh
right?
yeah, like
He was a
he had
linguist, right?
yes, he had guides that were like in the appendices of the Return of the King that had pronunciation. But if you were not like I
Mega
was
nerd.
in middle school, like I didn't know what the two dots over an A made the A sound
Yeah,
like, you
reading a
know?
linguist guide as a layman does not help you very much.
Right, like you have no idea what that means. Plus, I didn't have the internet back then to look things up. But I mean, there was the internet, but it wasn't like it is today. Anyway, speaking about things that you guys more care more about than
Off we
my
go.
mispronunciation of Tolkien's words, any other thoughts on ESO? Because I know that they've changed the schedule for the way that they're doing releases. We're not going back to the big launches. They're going to be more of minor releases over time, like they've said before. But we don't know for sure what the next year looks like. Like we're still waiting for a big announcement about that. And what are your hopes for ESO in the coming year? Do you think that we're going to get more of this? Do you think they've learned from this and they're going to change things up? Do you think that they're going to follow through with some of the things they hinted on before? Like they talked about updating combat, and there's been communication I've seen on the forums or on the Discord where people have talked about the fact that now you can kind of mix and match the abilities across any character class. The character classes are losing their identity. Should they be addressing that? Like, what do you guys think about all that?
I got some opinions on that.
Sure, go for it.
I enjoy playing ESO. For the most part, I don't like a lot of the things that are how they're handled, but I'm not running it, and there's probably a reason I'm not running it. I honestly probably would not do anywhere near as good of a job. I couldn't make a MMO last 10 years. But I enjoy playing it, and it is consistently fun content to play. But I'm more of like the trials guy, but I also like making character builds in a lot of games, and the addition of subclassing, it's been a lot of fun. I've got a it was originally a warden that I made, named him Frosty the Snow Elf,
Okay.
because it's Christmas time.
Yeah, real
But
in-world name there.
But now with subclassing, I can get all the ice skills from like all the different classes, and
All of the snow and ice. Oh, isn't there just the warden and that's it?
no, Arcanist has got some,
Oh, and the necromancer has like two, I think.
Necromancer has a few, the ulti for the Necromancer, the
Yeah.
Glacial Colossus. So now it's throwing a lot of damage, and it's
Yeah.
all ice based. It's very thematic. I enjoy that quite a bit.
Nice. So you feel like this has actually allowed you to have an even better class identity?
No.
Well, class identity is a different thing.
Yeah, so this is character identity as opposed
Character
to class
identity.
identity. So you've broken the class identity in order to build around character identity.
Correct.
That's
And
interesting.
I
Yeah.
enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, I hadn't
I'm of
considered
the
that side of
same.
it.
I have like 18 different characters or something like that, and I definitely love the creativity that that brings, where I can do so much more with each of my characters. And they had a idea behind them that wasn't necessarily 100% possible with the game's limitations, but I was just gonna deal with that anyways. And now a lot of those limitations have been stripped away, and you can make that specific character idea you had in mind a lot more easily because of it, at the cost of the class identity. And the class identity being lost is unfortunate. That is something that people really hold on to. I have a respect for the class identity. I appreciate the character customization more, I think. So I think it's a trade-off that I would be okay with, but I definitely see it as a loss for many people, but it's, you know, a nice trade-off for me.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. I hadn't really considered that. Oni, what do you think?
I actually really enjoy it as well. Like, because I, for, since the game's pretty much come out, I've hated the fact it doesn't have like a class, like token to change class like most MMOs do. Because when you get like, I've got a character that I've had from the start, and I just don't really enjoy playing that class with that character anymore. So having the like having to be able to like drag skills in from other classes has been like really, really, really good. And I think it adds more creativity to like building what you want and kind of trying to think of the word way to say it, but like pe for the people that like to play like meta builds and that, you can go crazy, you know?
So it seems that a lot of the issue is really just the fact that the people at the highest level, and this is one of the things Lotus and I, and I'm sure you guys were part of these conversations early on too, the idea that, okay, if you open up everything to every skill, then only the best skills are going to rise to the top, and then people are going to figure out two or three massive meta builds that absolutely do the most DPS or absolutely are best for tanking or healing. And then everybody who's going to do trials at the highest level is going to have one of those builds, which means that the rest of the builds just don't compete at that level. But what you guys are saying is, I don't care about that so much as I do about being able to be in this world and play a character that makes sense for the way I want to play the character.
And
Hold
ultimately, that's
on
what it comes
now,
down
a
to.
little
But
bit.
also, patches exist. Like, if we get the top three skills, they're the no contest, absolutely the best skills. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to get patched, and they're not going to be top of the line anymore.
Just like
Also, just the
every
nature of the
online
online
game,
game.
every MMO, every patch is going to adjust the meta in some
It's going to
way.
make classes more balanced to each other, if anything, because
Eventually,
now
yeah.
all of the skills are going to be balanced to each other.
Yeah. Blinding,
So,
you had a thing to say here.
yeah. So, I play mostly. I do the in-game trials. I'm mostly run trifectas, and when I do hop on, that's realistically, for the most part, all I've hopped on for in the last year was my trial groups. I think if you're gonna do the 12-man like trifectas where you get the speed run hard mode no death, there's a reason to the meta. And like, but a lot of the in-game players kind of forget that there is more to the game than just trials. Like, I don't know about the other platforms. Xbox's in-game community is a little toxic about it, but there do exist times where like someone's like, I want to use the stuff I want to use. It's like, that's great, man, but this is not for that right now.
Oh yeah, when they're like, "Oh, I know you need this skill for a trial, but I don't want to do that."
I don't want to
It's
do
like, "Okay,
that.
well, don't come into this trial, buddy. Move along."
Yeah, like, but it goes both ways in that regard too, because like people that are like, I don't want to do that, and it's like, all right, man, like that's cool, but we're not bringing you along.
So, do you what in your estimation, Blinding, what is the solution to the class identity problem to balance it with the meta for trials, to also balance it for the rest of us who aren't as into trials? I mean, Lotus is probably on the same page as you with the trial stuff, but like the other three of us here are more casual players who like to be in the world to role play their character and go on the quests and explore the world, and we're less about the like the gaming. And I'm sure
Right, the
there's a
game
whole
aspect of
PvP
it.
side of it too, which we haven't talked
Yes.
about.
Yeah.
So, what do you think is the solution?
I don't think there is a solution, because I don't necessarily think there's a problem.
Okay,
You can
so
so
just leave it as it is.
the game as itself is playable at all levels, all content at all skill levels can be done. There, you get the story. You get to play it as a game, as an RPG, if that's what you enjoy. And if you want to push your damage numbers or your survivability for tanking and all that, and you want to be really good at PvP, you build into that and learn to enjoy that aspect of it, or just enjoy the game as it is. The meta and enjoyment of the game should not be as tied together as it is, or it seems to be. in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing because different people play MMOs for different reasons. And if as and I see this across the board with games as service games and also as MMOs, and this has been going on for 20 some years now. Whenever a company has to adjust something to balance for one group, the other groups get upset because you can't. It's like having a restaurant and being like, okay, well, now we're going to serve this food, but we're no longer going to carry this because we can't refrigerate all the different things that we need, and this one doesn't sell as well as the rest of these. Well, the people who used to come to the restaurant for the thing that didn't sell as well are going to stop coming to that restaurant. But you only have so much you can do. You can't placate everybody all the time. So,
It's still a business.
yeah, it's still business. They have to try to get people to be happy in order to keep coming back. And the rate at which people come back is different. If you're somebody who wants to unlock every piece of content, farm everything, play every trial, beat every PvP match, whatever you want to do in the real game system, then different things are going to draw those people back more often than somebody who pops in every 3 months, plays for 2 weeks, does all the new content, and then disappears again. And that those different groups are going to have different, like, they're going to make different money off of each of them. Some of them are going to sign up or buy more things from the shop. So it's really a tricky situation. But here, let's move on from the balancing conversation. Let's talk about where you want to see things go in the next year or moving forward. Do you want to see more of the zones? There's definitely still places on the map in Tamriel we don't have. It's not a whole continuous continent yet. They keep on adding in things like islands and even like Daedric realms that we visit on occasion and things like that. Where do you think we're going to go with that stuff or even the story? Any thoughts on this?
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Rob?
I'm gonna bring it up every time that question is posed, and they better take us to Dayspring Canyon soon because I'm getting tired of them putting it off. I feel like they've had many opportunities to come back to it, and just as a reminder, the Dayspring Canyon is where the DLC in Skyrim for Dawnguard takes place. It's just outside of Riften. That part of the map has still been unexplored. It's a little hole in the map at this point. Everything around it's been discovered and is part of the game, but not that little gap. And they've even hinted at it in the game about like stuff going on in Riften and such. So
Yeah, and there's a whole
I'd
gap
love
in
to see them.
Skyrim between the two zones we have.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll fill in that gap, like the middle
That's the
section?
Dayspring Canyon. That's
But
the
do you
entire
think they'll
canyon
do
right
the
there.
whole section, or do you think they'll do like?
Yeah, I think I'll have like a little strip, and it'll probably have like Fort Dawnguard would likely be the main attraction, but then there'd be like the overland outdoor area for the rest of the canyon.
Okay. Yeah, it would be cool to have like a whole continuous kind of Skyrim
And
region.
they could even do, what is it? I think Blacklight in Morrowind is just on
Yes.
the coast on the other side, so they
I want to
could have
say.
that all be a part of one DLC.
I want to say Blacklight so
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. Now, notoriously, they haven't filled in much of Hammerfell, and there's a lot of speculation that that's where Elder Scrolls 6 will be. Do you think we'll get any Hammerfell before Elder Scrolls 6? I guess a more interesting question would be, what if in 2026 we get a location that's part of Hammerfell? Does that change our assumptions about Elder Scrolls 6? Like, wait a minute. Oh, maybe they're not saving it.
I think they're going to save it, but I guess if that's proven wrong, then yeah, I will have to recalibrate my thoughts there. But I think they'll save it for to line up somewhat with the release.
Yeah, because it makes sense that they've kind of avoided any of the Hammerfell like so far. So it'd be weird if they released it now and they're like, oh, okay.
Sorry, go
With the
ahead.
future of DLCs and things like that, I don't know if you've noticed like what races get DLC.
Oh,
So
yeah, that's
far,
interesting, yeah.
I think Red Guards are the only ones that don't have a dedicated DLC zone. I mean,
Yeah,
well, I
there
think that in the
was.
Bosmer, right? Yeah, I think you're right. Bosmer may have gotten something, if I remember right, but
No, I
because I
don't think
remember
so.
when
When
we
we got the
remembering.
high aisle teased, everyone was thinking it was probably going to be a Bosmer one for that reason, and then it
Yeah.
wasn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, that was Breton. It was primarily Breton.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bosmer and Red Guard, I think you're right, are the two that
Yeah.
haven't gotten a zone.
I think we'll get a Fallen Estie thing before we get Red Guards, just because, I mean, there was a lot of speculation about that for a bit, too.
Yeah, that so you talk Fallen Estie, that like walking trees and all of that. I don't know that the engine can do walking trees, but they could have some lore explanation for why they're not walking anymore or something.
If I had to guess, what they do is it's like an instance zone and they just kind of move the background
Yeah,
along.
right.
And the tree's not actually moving, but it's given
It's
the
a
illusion that it
skybox.
is.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
skybox moving
Or they're
around.
like, psych, they never walked in the first place. You're just crazy.
Yeah. Cyrodiil was never a forest. It was
Misinterpretation.
never a jungle.
Exactly. A
Yeah.
jungle.
Right, a
Yeah.
jungle. Yeah.
Glad you connected that.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, things change over time and for different reasons for story and all that. All right. Well, let's move on to the sequel to Skyrim, Elder Scrolls 6, which, man, this last month with the Game Awards and the weird statue, everybody got all. I've been watching the
I
Reddit
can't believe the game
communities.
came out 2 weeks ago.
No, right? It's like it
Yeah, I've
just
been
shadow
playing
dropped out of
nonstop.
nowhere. Yeah, it's so strange. The number of posts of people who were just absolutely sure that they were going to shadow drop in Elder Scrolls 6 because Todd said that he doesn't like doing the whole marketing thing and, announcing things months ahead of time. Like, I totally get all of that. But the only shadow drops we've gotten from Bethesda, if you are Oblivion Remaster, if you include that, which again
I
wasn't
would.
the was but it wasn't the
It was
primary
planned to.
team. It was a secondary team who were updating it with help from the primary team, but primarily a second team, right? So it wasn't a
Yeah.
main. It also wasn't a mainline release. Bethesda, the publisher, has shadow dropped things before, like what was that Rush game that came out?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it's called,
Remember, I
but.
forget what it was called. Something Rush.
Oh, Hi-Fi Rush,
Hi-Fi
right?
Rush, and that did pretty well. It was like a Game Pass game, and people very positive about it. But we have never seen Bethesda do a mainline launch that wasn't promoted at least 4 to 6 months ahead of time, as far as I'm aware, as far back as I can remember. Do you
I have a
think?
theory. Oblivion is Elder Scrolls 4. That's mainline.
Well, it's a
Yeah,
remake,
but it
though.
was a
It's not.
remake,
Yeah, I know.
and it was primarily headed up by a secondary studio who
I
does
do have a
remakes and
theory on
everyone knew
that
that. Or
at that point.
remasters. Yeah, what's your theory, Rob?
So, and I want to lead with a question first to see if I'm even in the right direction here. Do we think that all of the buildup and excitement and all of the like people theorizing and making videos ahead of time for Starfield's release ended up kind of quieting down the excitement or building it up? Because I feel like people were super, super excited for it. And then the longer we waited, people were like, yeah, you know what? I might skip out on this one. I heard that a lot from players anecdotally, where they're like, you know what? It did look cool at first, but the more I looked into it, this game doesn't seem to be my forte. So I'm just going to sit this one out.
So there was
And that
like they
probably
were
wouldn't have happened.
overhyped, and then it was too much, and then people stopped
Right.
caring.
And that probably, if it was shadow dropped, I think Bethesda is thinking, oh, we probably lost some money by waiting so long. If we were to shadow drop this, the hype would have carried our sales, and it's all a money thing. And so now they're thinking, if we shadow
Yeah.
drop the next one, we'll probably make more money.
They might. I mean, they have some data to make that an argument, and I would assume that in board meetings, Todd is using that data to make exactly that argument.
I think that's the case. I just don't know, because that was what I heard anecdotally. I just heard like people around me were like, oh yeah, I was excited, and then I just kind of lost the excitement, so I decided not to do it. And I'm
That
wondering
makes
if maybe that
sense.
was such a widespread thing that they are like, not only is that the case, but they're aware of it and they're trying to go around that.
Yeah. I also. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Blindy.
I think new products they should probably shadow drop. Mostly because some of the most anticipated games that we've had in recent memory, ones I can think of. Like No Man's Sky was incredibly hyped up and anticipated. Its launch, less than stellar. Anthem did the same thing. That one
Right.
got abandoned.
Yeah.
No
And
Man's Sky was
Cyberpunk.
different because it failed on expectations. They
Right.
promised
It
things
will
and then
just it
they
just
had
didn't
to push it out
deliver at the time.
early because I believe Sony owned them at that point and then forced them to launch. But then in the now what has it been, 8 years or something? They've continued
It's
to update it and it's an amazing game.
a really good game.
Right.
Same with Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk went through the same patch or path with patches. But and that's part of why that's what I expect for Starfield. I expect that they're working behind the scenes on the things that the community wants for Starfield. And the next thing that we will see is because it's especially because it's taken so long, is a big 2.0. Hey, guess what? We fixed the things that you guys cared the most about, or at least some of them. And on top of that allows them to do more in Elder Scrolls 6 because, as far as I'm aware, a lot of the engine updates for Starfield were also implemented in ways that would be beneficial to the next Elder Scrolls game. So I think you're onto something there. I think when it comes to the Elder Scrolls 6, though, one of the things that we keep seeing is that whenever Todd gets interviewed recently, in just the last few months, he's asked questions about like how long is it until we see Elder Scrolls 6? And he says, "Oh, it's still going to be a long time, it's a long ways off." Or when somebody specifically asked him, "Are we going to see Elder Scrolls 6 or Grand Theft Auto 6 first?" And he's like, "I think we'll see Grand Theft Auto 6 first," which they just got delayed. That means that it's at least a year until we'll see Elder Scrolls 6. And yet people in the community online are all like, "No, man, they're going to shadow drop. You can't trust a word he says." And I think, and just allow me to rant for just a minute, when people say we can't trust what Todd is going to say, oftentimes what they're doing is they're taking his quotes and the things he said in the past out of context and then saying, well, we can't trust him. An example of this would be the "it just works" comment. When he said "it just works" at the it was on stage at whatever the event was, it was about a very specific thing. And now everyone uses it to say, oh, well, there's bugs, but it just works. And it's like, that was never the context that he used that language in to begin with. And he's, as far as I'm aware, when he's hyped stuff up, he's tried to be very specific, but yet is always has to be vague because the thing isn't out yet. And when you understand the thing he was specifically saying and why he was hyping the thing up the way he was, most of the time that stuff tracks, or at least I can see the connection there. I don't see the fact that like he's just spouting lies in order to sell copies of things. I don't think that's his intention. But what do you guys think about all that?
I think both can be true. I mean, we are probably going to see it be shadow dropped, and I think that's people are leaning into that as an argument of why it's coming out right away. But and I think it is going to be shadow dropped, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. So people are just misconstruing that, as you said. People love to take those quotes. I know, what is it? I think in one of the Blizzard developers has a famous quote that gets thrown back at them all the time. Like, nobody has phones anymore. Anytime they make a
Yes.
mobile game reference,
Diablo.
Right. The mobile Diablo
Everybody has
game was
phones.
announced at BlizzCon like a few years ago, and the crowd was kind of like, and he's like, "What? You guys don't have phones?" Like,
Right. And it's like, that's such a funny thing to get ripped on about. And I don't necessarily think that they shouldn't do that because it's hilarious. However, it is a good example of people just like taking that, and it doesn't matter how relevant it applies to the now like relevant subject, they're gonna throw that quote right back at you no matter what. And that's the "it just works" and "it's a bug, it's a feature, not a bug." All those quotes get thrown around. It's just people, having fun with their slogans. But ultimately, we're not going to get this anytime soon. And I think anyone who knows anything about what's been going on is aware of that. And the rest of the people are just pretending they know what's going on. And they're like, "Yeah, it's coming out this year."
What do you think, Oni? When do you think we're going to see the next Elder Scrolls game?
I don't think, like everyone else has said, I don't think it's anytime soon. I tend to believe what, the devs are talking about over the rest of the people online. If there's like a notable leaker, I'm gonna probably believe their source over anyone else as well.
Yeah, some of
But
those leakers
because,
were right about the
yeah,
Oblivion remaster.
yeah, the one that my partner follows quite regularly, he's like pretty much always on the bar. He was the first one to do the leak for Oblivion, and he was right. But yeah, I'm not gonna, I don't tend to lean into what the internet is saying. I just, yeah, I think it's far off, still far off.
So there was another thing I want to discuss about this is Annie Austin, who is a YouTuber who's become very, very well known over the last few years for doing these videos where he tries to figure out where all the rivers start from in Skyrim or whatever, that kind of stuff. And he did a video recently that came out like in the last week where he estimated and used different methods to try to count the number of trees in Skyrim. And in doing this, you guys should look up the video. It's very good. But he also brought in a lot of other content creators who then shared their guesses in order to see who had the best guess, and then whoever won, money went to their charity. Todd Howard also got in on this, and if you didn't see it, he this has gone through on social media, his little clip from that video where he answers the question 111,111 trees in Skyrim, which is clearly a joke based on the launch date of Skyrim, 11/11/11, right? But some people started taking that as like, oh, this means something. But what I think actually means something is there was a second question he answered by another member from the studio who was behind him, who asked the question, are there going to be more trees in the next Elder Scrolls game than there are in Skyrim? And he said, in the next, he's like, which game will have the most trees? And he said, the next Elder Scrolls game will have more trees than Skyrim, which was surprising if we expect the next Elder Scrolls game to take place in a mostly desert region, which I'm sure still has trees, but probably not as much as a forested mountain zone,
There are
right?
going to be so many potted plants.
Maybe, or
Hold on.
maybe.
Unless they're planning to make more, like, rather than just Skyrim being, Skyrim, maybe the speculations of Hammerfell reaching out to the Orsima territory, maybe that's where we're looking at.
Or up to the up into the north, past the Iliac Bay to the
Yeah,
Daggerfall
maybe it's
region.
just gonna be a bigger map.
But that's
Who
the
knows?
bigger map, I think, is another argument for this, because you could like the region of Skyrim in the game isn't actually one to one with how big it is in the lore. So you could have a region of Hammerfell or even parts of the Iliac Bay, which are just on a bigger map that's scaled larger, closer to what it would actually be, which would mean just a larger map in general would be more trees, even if a large swath
So
of
you're
it is
thinking there's gonna be
desert.
like a region of Daggerfall in the map, and that region is gonna have more trees in it than all of the
Well,
Skyrim game.
but
Is that what you're
even in parts of Hammerfell, you have coastal areas which are more have more plants, but you also even in desert regions, there are
But
trees
is that
in.
you're saying like this small section of the map is just gonna be more focused, that it's gonna have so much more trees just because it's a bigger scale? Is
Yes.
that your
Yeah, the
point?
scale will be larger. So, for example, the scale from Fallout 4 to Fallout 76, 76's original map when it launched was four times the size of Fallout 4's. But it's still like if you actually look at the region of the world that it covers, they're both scaled weirdly for the regions that they represent. It's not based on like real distances between the actual cities they represent, right? So you can scale anything to any amount depending on how much world space you want to build. So that's one interpretation of that. The other interpretation is maybe the Hammerfell stuff is wrong. Maybe this is a Bosmer expansion.
Have
Or
we
not expansion,
considered
but
that?
focus. Go ahead.
Have we considered that maybe it's going to be, since I mean they've already released a the Oblivion Remaster. What if we're going back to Cyrodiil and it's a jungle this time?
Well, I heard some people joking about that. So another one of the things that came out was there was a post that Bethesda made with for like Christmas, and in the background on the wall was what appeared to be a piece of a map, like mounted in a frame with a glass on front of it. So parts of it you could see, but parts of it were obscure. But it was far enough in the background that it was hard to tell what the map was of. It clearly isn't a piece of Skyrim, and the internet today, speak just today, has been dissecting this, trying to figure out what that map is, and it doesn't seem to line up with anything specifically that anyone has figured out yet. But one of the speculations was, wait a minute, it kind of looks like part of Cyrodiil. What if this is hinting that the Elder Scrolls 6 is going back to Cyrodiil? How would they do that? And that seems a little crazy, like when you think about it, but if it's hundreds of years later, it might actually be really cool to go back to the same locations past a period of time where things have changed.
It wouldn't be surprising if that's where the story takes us next. I don't necessarily think that's where it's headed, but it wouldn't be that far of a leap. Normally, we'd think, oh, it's going to go to Hammerfell because the Redguard government over there is fighting with the uprising of the Thalmor so much that that's where we think the plot's going to head next. But we've already taken over the Empire, and maybe it's going to show what's happened with the taking over Empire, or maybe it's going to show them coming back. There's a lot that could happen there. It's not that much of a
Yeah.
leap.
It also would make
I can
sense
kind
why
of
they did the
accept it.
Oblivion remaster, because that promotes that location. And then, like, let's say 2 years after Oblivion remaster comes out, Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, and they're like, hey, you guys just visited Cyrodiil. We want to come back 600 years later and see what it's like now, or whatever. You know, that could be fun. Blinding, did you have a thought?
I said the second coming of Tiber Septim.
Yeah, maybe something
God,
like
I hope
that.
not.
I don't know.
Maybe he's gonna get rid of the jungle.
Maybe the jungle comes back. Maybe that's, I don't, we can speculate about all sorts of reasons why you want to go back there. But yeah, there's still a lot of buzz about it. And I hope, like you were saying, Rob, the buzz doesn't overpower our expectations to the point where, like, we get a release and we're like, eh.
Well, I think that just depends on the hype of the game. I think the game hype for like Elder Scrolls 6 wouldn't die down. I think that's built up so much as it stands that it's going to be huge unless they like drop a trailer and the trailer looks disappointing. And I think that's kind of what happened with Starfield. It was like it looked really cool, and then the more they looked into it, they're like, you know what, this maybe this isn't as cool as I thought it was going to be. And that's only going to be true if the trailer looks a little disappointing. And I think for some people, Starfield did look a little disappointing the more they looked into it, and they had all of this time to do so. Whereas if you give us the time and it looks great and continues to look great, well, guess what? Now we're going to be even more excited, and that's even better. So you probably shouldn't shadow drop it in that case.
So one of the other things that was talked about recently is the fact that now that they with Microsoft's tech team has been working with Bethesda to update the Creation 2 engine, whatever they're calling it. It's all just the same lineage of things that have been updated over time, but that they want to incorporate a lot of the features that the Unreal Engine has worked into games, which seems like a win in two different ways. A technological win, because now the Creation Engine does a lot of more modern things that modern engines do, but also it starts to quiet the part of the internet out there who's like, oh, they should drop the Creation Engine and just use Unreal. And we've discussed this multiple times. There are things that the Unreal Engine does that really well, but there are things that the Creation does engine does that the Unreal Engine just can't do. So what if you could have the best of both worlds, kind of like what they did for Oblivion Remaster? And what that would mean is things like streaming the data so that you have less load screens. Like, what if you can walk into the major city in Hammerfell or wherever this game is located, and there's no load? You just walk into the city, and all of a sudden you're in the city, and then you just open a door to the inn. And you just walk in the inn without a load screen. That would be
Just works.
phenomenal. It just works. That would be amazing, because one of my problems with Starfield, and even going back and playing Fallout 76 or heck, loading Skyrim back up, is just all the loading. Every time you, especially when you're on a quest line that where you just have to go fetch things and you already have a lot of the map unlocked, it's like if you're not doing the don't fast travel thing, you go, you load into a room, you talk to the person, they're like, go over here and find this thing for me. Then you load back out into the city, then you load back out and you fast travel somewhere else, and then you load into a dungeon, and then you do the thing, and then you have to leave the dungeon, you load back into the world, then you have to fast travel and load back into the city, and then you have to go back into the inn, load back into the inn. Like, the fact that you have to go through like a dozen load screens just
Hours of
to,
gameplay.
I wouldn't mind if it was separated by regions, like, oh, all of the stuff in the Whiterun area is in one map, and that would be you just have to do the loading screen when you change big areas of the map. But if they just got rid of it altogether, yeah, that'd be
That
huge.
would be amazing. And this is on a PC with an SSD, and the loads are not like they were when I was playing on Xbox, you know, over a decade ago or any of that stuff. So even then, in fact, it's almost more annoying because they happen faster, even though they don't take as long. They feel like they happen more often. So that's just my perspective on it. Let's wrap this up. Any other thoughts about Elder Scrolls 6? Anything else you guys want to chime in about on there? Nope.
I feel like I
Okay.
have a lot, so I don't
Yeah,
want
we could do a
to
whole nother episode. I mean, this comes up pretty regularly, but I just wanted to make sure that we cover a lot of the recent hype and news and kind
get
of
it out of
react to
here.
that.
That
It'll be here when
trees
it be.
thing is very exciting because that kind of just almost guarantees that it's not going to be centered on Hammerfell necessarily, and Hammerfell might be there, but
Yeah.
that's pretty exciting that it could just be a huge part of the map, or maybe it's a completely different area. Who
Or
knows
they're
that? So that
complex
can't really
desert
trust what he
regions.
says.
You
So.
can't really trust what he says. Yeah, but maybe the desert region is actually complex because there are types of trees that grow in desert regions.
Yeah, I live in Vegas,
Yeah.
but there aren't many.
But it's even if it's not part of the whole map, but if you actually look at the Annie Austin video, he broke down parts of the map that have more trees and parts that don't, and there are large swaths. There's a good,
Oh,
at
yeah.
least a third of the Skyrim map that are basically unforested because it's mostly rocks or it's swamps or whatever, and there just are less trees in that spot, or it's tundra and it's frozen, right? And I think that's one of the things that we don't think about is how much of Skyrim doesn't have trees. It's
I
pretty.
think the
It's a pretty
only
large
part
amount.
that doesn't have trees is Hammerfell. I think every other part, I'm like looking, I have my world map behind me on the wall, and
Of
yeah, I
that
mean,
part of the world specifically?
well,
Or
I'm looking at like of all of Tamriel,
Tamriel?
yeah, all of Tamriel. I can't think of a major region here that's not covered in trees besides Hammerfell, and I guess the Gold Coast,
Right,
which is
yeah.
because it's close
But
to
think about this. The
Hammerfell.
whole northern section of Skyrim is tundra.
But still trees.
No, there's large sections that don't. That's what I'm saying. Go watch the video. There are large sections
Yeah.
that are rocky and mountainous with very little trees, or tundra with very little trees and other
And there's
regions.
going to be plenty of that throughout
Yeah.
all of the maps, I think, through all of the areas, I mean. But like there's still going to be tons of areas with that do have trees and tons of areas that don't have. Like if you look at
Right.
Northern Skyrim, there's a lot of places that do have trees and a lot of places that don't. It's kind
Right.
of off and on. Hammerfell is kind of the one area I can think of where it's just like, no, that's mostly not trees. There's going to be some areas that have
Yes.
trees, but it's mostly not trees.
Right. Or maybe it'll be like a serial thing where all of a sudden it's a jungle. It's like reverse Cyrodiil.
Yeah, I'm just like, does that mean we're zooming out and it's going to be Hammerfell plus a bunch of other places? Or is it just,
Yeah.
maybe there's just a part of the Iliac Bay that has so much trees because the scale is so massive?
Maybe.
Who,
Or
maybe
just
we're
slight
going.
differences to the biomes. Like you look at Skyrim, and not all of Skyrim is the same biome. In fact, the
Yeah.
difference, like the Riften area, is very different visually than the Whiterun area, which is very different from the northwestern area.
Is there a part of Hammerfell that could be a jungle terrain if they decided to retcon that?
Maybe. I mean, it's not
Maybe.
like we have an actual game that features that outside of like Daggerfall and
Yeah, because
Arena. And
as we
Daggerfall and
just
Arena
mentioned,
are just
ESO
old.
doesn't even
Right.
explore that part.
Right.
So maybe there's a part of the Al'Akir Desert that is like on the south coast of it that has a jungle terrain, and maybe that's a bunch of trees. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, I
Be
guess
really
we'll have
cool
to
to
see.
see an actual jungle in Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Just a heavily dense
But
wooded
then, like,
area.
the entire bottom half of the world map is just all trees. Like, I'm looking like Somerset Isle, Valenwood, elsewhere, Black Marsh, that's all
Well,
trees.
there's deserts in elsewhere.
Sure, there's
There are
also a
some.
lot of trees,
There's also a lot of trees, but there's also deserts,
though.
right? Like, so there are sections where there are less trees. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to
It's
wait and
exciting.
see. It's exciting. Well, you know what? Thank you, everybody. This has been fun looking back on 2025. Why don't we wrap this up? Well, you can say your goodbyes and all of that, and then drop us one prediction for either 2026 for ESO or for Elder Scrolls 6, maybe beyond 2026. Well, just it could be as wild as you want, and who knows? Maybe it'll be something that comes true, and then we'll look back on this and be like, "Holy crap, you predicted it!" So we'll go back through on my screen. We've got Blinding Vision. Thank you for joining us, Blinding.
Hi,
Hi.
I'm Blinding. I think I posted this in the Discord a while back. I got a prediction for the date. Maybe not the year, but the day. I'm thinking it's going to drop on September 20th. And
Of
I
what
think it would be
year?
pretty cool if it lined up to drop next year. It'd be the 30-year anniversary of Daggerfall.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that would be cool. Okay. Do you have a reason specifically for that date?
That's my birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. It's good as any other reason. Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. Also, just so you guys know, Falcon had to leave, so not here to say goodbye. But Falcon, hope you're doing well. Oni, feel free to say your goodbyes, and do you have a fun prediction for us?
I'm terrible with predictions, but I'm still thinking and like leaning on the it being kind of like Hammerfell, maybe close to High Rock. Maybe that's where the trees are coming in, like
Right?
I just because I have my hopes. I just want a desert map. I love desert maps in games, so
Get
please.
Mario World 2.
Good thing I haven't played the Mario game, so
Well, yeah, World 2 is almost always a desert map in a Mario game.
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, other than that, you can just find me on Blue Sky, the Discord under Wasteland Oni. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And then, Rob, are
Anyways.
you going to wrap it up?
The Elder Scrolls 6, the year is 2035. It is set
Oh,
in
no.
Pandania.
Wow. Wait, it's
I'd like
tans
that too.
like in our own world?
No, it's coming out 2035. It's set in Pandania.
Oh, Pandonia. I thought you said Tanzania.
No, the where the sea elves are?
I get you. I get you. I thought you said Tanzania, which is like in what, Africa? I don't know where that is.
I don't know. Maybe my mic cut out on that.
I
I'm
don't know.
sorry if
Maybe,
it
yeah,
did.
I think I, the
But yeah,
P became a T,
Pandania,
so.
it's pronounced differently depending on how smart you
Yes.
are.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As we were talking earlier about pronunciation, I'm not great. Yeah, that would be crazy. Also, that's a really long time from now, and I hope you're wrong about
Me too. I'm just
that
choosing the most outrageous things. Like, there's no way these are right.
part.
But God, I hope not. Anyways, yeah, Rob the Princess. You can find me on Blue Sky, but I don't do anything anywhere at all.
Right.
I'm also on the server. I'm still a PC guild officer for the robots guild on ESO. And check out that Sky Oblivion project. I can't wait to not have to do that shout out anymore,
Yeah.
but just keep on keeping on out there. And that's everything.
Thanks, Rob. All right, and real quick before we go, thank you everybody who supports us on Patreon and has been supporting us, all 129 patrons, and thank you to all of you guys for joining us. And if you'd like to help out and support me and Lotus and make sure this show keeps going so that we can keep talking about stuff and then maybe someday get another Elder Scrolls game, and then we'll dig into all that lore, patreon.com/ElderScrollsLoreCast is where you can do that. And shout outs to our Daedric Princes, Kirasi, Blinding Vision, Hairscene, Peter R., and Austin B., thank you so much for your support. And also, if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, like this one that came in 5 days ago. This one is from C Gamer Guy, who writes, "Hi Rob, hi robots. I'm a longtime fan of the games and recently started listening a week or so ago. Some of the Fallout Lorecast, and I love the show. Same with the Fallout Lorecast, and I love the show. I had no idea about most of the lore of the games, and so now I'm so invested. And you probably already went over this, but is the player Lorcon? Thanks. Keep up the good work." That is one of the theories. I don't know that we have any real confirmation about that, but maybe they're a avatar of Lorcan. That's maybe, I don't know. There's an argument to be made where that is absolutely true, and there are arguments that say no, that is not how that works. So maybe we'll dig back into that in a future episode. But everybody, thank you for being here. Chat, thank you for joining us for the live show. And from me and Lotus, I'm sure Lotus is just busy with holiday stuff.
Random
You want to
page.
do the random page? Let's do it. UESP.com. Random. What? Oh, it's .org. No, USP. Is it not
Thought
working
for a
right now?
second
The
you got
site's
like Elder
gone.
Scrolls 6.
It even tried to forward it and then it said it didn't work. Okay, it is working right now. All right, here we go. Do you want to guess which game this is about? Anybody?
Shadow Key.
Nope.
I'm gonna stay Stormhold until I'm right.
Nope. It is a weird one though. It's a less common one.
Redguard?
No. Castles, which is the mobile game.
Oh yeah, that's the newest entry.
Yeah, this is Castles Rulings. Rulings slash MIS209 ruler parenthesis 2. Don't know what any of that means. My king, my queen, we have reclaimed your magic staff from the giant skeever. Conditions. Ruling flag, MIS209 underscore complete, disabled. This is like code for how the game knows to respond when a certain quest goes a certain way. And then your response is, "My staff, my precious staff, how joyous to be reunited. My gratitude is boundless." So there you go. That's the random page from the UESP this week. Thank you for random page. I'm so glad that this is an option on that website because it just keeps on giving. But everybody, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Stay safe out there. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.